That brings up a whole other point, which is the power of a voice's quality to bring a brand to life. So, you know, a lot of clients are like, well, just get hire a voiceover and just have them say the copy. And it's just like, well, you know, there's a place for Gilbert Gottfried and there's a place for, you know, John Lithgow. And I'm not saying we would use either of those, but, you know, if I'm doing a commercial on a cancer care center, I would never have Gilbert Gottfried come on and say, no, that's the way, you know, that's like, that's.
It would be memorable.
It would be memorable, but it would be completely the opposite of what the brand should be.
It doesn't fit the brand.
It doesn't sound caring. It doesn't sound earnest. And that's how the voice you choose for a commercial is critical.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Reed Holmes.
When we're talking about emotion, and we talk about sound here, how does sound tie into that emotional connection with a brand?
Well, it can be good and bad. So we were talking about, one of my first visceral emotional reactions to a brand and a brand using its own media. You know, you talk about paid, earned, and owned media. So Apple Computer, back when they first introduced the Macintosh, when it started up, it would go, boom. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like,
that's an event.
Something's going on here. Like, there's power.
Yes.
And, you know, Netflix does it nowadays with that, which is kind of similar in emotional. But those things can be incredibly impactful because they say, I'm entering a new world here. I am now in the care of this other thing. I've gone through a doorway. I've come into this new world. And that is one of the biggest things audio cues can do, particularly when you're talking about entering the doorway of experiencing a brand's experience. You know, then there's the audio cues of da 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 da, I'm loving it, or whatever. Now that one's not as irritating as liberty, 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 which is horrible. Like I can tell you that my son, who's 25, came walking into the house one day and we were watching a football game or something, and one of those commercials played, and at the end of it he said, I will never buy Liberty Mutual Insurance because that is just so irritatingly bad. So
really?
And I was just like, okay, well, maybe he's attuned to it because his dad's in advertising or whatever. I don't know.
But, probably.
But I was just like, I'm right there with you, man. So
at the same time, it's very memorable.
It is, but, you know. Here's this. If their commercials were actually any good, like progressive commercials, I don't know if you get those up in the in Canada.
We don't actually.
They're very funny. Yeah. They're very funny.
Yeah.
And those I appreciate watching because appreciation runs the gamut from paid advertising to owned to, you know, you can earn the appreciation. I appreciate that Netflix is making this event more of an event for me, you know. And the audio is a great way to do that. So,
yeah, and being entertained by an insurance advertisement is much preferable to being annoyed by one.
Yes.
So, are there any particular ads that you've worked on that had a very big emphasis on sound in particular?
I originally did a video for a client of mine. It was called Fiend Oil, and it was kind of like an oil that you use to stop squeaks. And so I did this whole thing of like, I just went and shot a bunch of different things, hinges, whatever. And it was just like, and then you doop, 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 and then no sound. And
it was silence. Like, okay. Yeah.
So it was kind of a contrast between before the product and after. Mm-hmm. And actually, I just did that myself for these guys because it was more of an online ad.
Yeah. I guess it's hard for people to understand new concepts. You know, the way that it might have been hard for you to get a brand to embrace appreciated branding.
Yeah, they need to know that there's, I mean, I've been around long enough to know that if you're not making the CFO happy, you're not going to be around long. And so if I'm going to propose something, I need to know that it's going to make a difference in the bottom line. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of time. And so that's why I'm so excited about this process and I call it the appreciation loop, which is, I didn't put in the book, but it's basically, it's kind of like a sideways figure eight where you figure out things you can help people with, you figure out how to execute them, you put them out, you build your us, what I call your us of people who appreciate those things and empower them to share. And then you keep building, and it's an eight that just keeps going up and up and up and up. And, you know, Seth Godin, you know, he's like, the best strategy to build a business is find the 10 people who love you. And if you can find 10 people who love you, then you will build a business over time.
Yeah, I guess it can be tough to get people's attention these days. So... I talk to people a lot who work specifically in sound here, and a lot of the ways that they get people to pay attention is to get the sound to cut through, because people are taking it for granted in a way that when it does something different that they're not expecting, it kind of grabs their attention. Harder to do on social media because a lot of that is just turned off automatically.
Yeah.
What do you think about AI in all of this? Because, of course, that's now not only making inroads into audio, but it's making inroads into video at this point as well. Any visual mediums are also kind of under assault when it comes to that. So where do you see this going in the future? There's a lot going on.
There's a couple different ways to think about AI. Mm-hmm. One is it's never going to replace creativity. Because AI, by definition, is looking backwards. It's using things that have already been done. And creativity, by definition, is taking two things that have never been put together and putting them together one plus one equals three. And I don't think that AI can do that, at least not in a way that human beings will tickle their, you know, their nerve endings in the way that cool new ideas do. But the other side of it is, I think AI created sonic personas. So that's what's happening with, that's a very slippery thing. So a lot of people are like, well, if I can create another one of me, but it's an AI, but it's my voice. And when I say voice, I mean audio, because the way people talk isn't just their audio. It's the cadence of how they talk. It's their word choice. It's all those things. And AI cannot duplicate that.
Yeah. Finds it very hard.
And so there are I think it was a podcast or something I was listening to where a guy said, I followed, and there was a guy who was a kind of a well-known business coach kind of persona guy. And he and this person knew who he was and loved him and followed him and appreciated him and had thanked him in the past for all of the good things he'd done for him. And this voice came up and he was like, that's totally not him. Like, how is he allowing them to do that? Like, why would he allow them to be so inauthentic and to be such a an inorganic representation of himself that most people will be able to go, that's not him. That's not the guy I know. And it crushed it for him. He's like, I'm never going to listen to him again. So you got to be really careful. You know, yeah. These sonic personas that people are trying to chase to make another version of themselves, it's very slippery. It can do so much more damage.
The backlash is serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people just appreciate authenticity. And when they find out that AI is being used and they weren't told about it beforehand, A, it makes the brand seem cheap because they certainly didn't take the time to pay attention to their own branding. And you know, B, it just seems completely inauthentic because it's, you know, someone pressed a button.
Yeah. And it goes to the heart of what a brand has to be. Mm-hmm. And that is trusted.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
And you are actively engendering distrust when you do mm-hmm. that. That you can undo years of goodwill yeah. and good faith with that kind of thing. So I would say proceed with caution with AI. It can be very slippery. It can be troublesome. I think it's a great tool from a creative perspective as a copywriter and as a creative director. We've always worked collaboratively with others. As a collaborative tool, it's a great, you know, hey, I did this the other day. I was like, my wife was wanting to start a movie, and I was just like, I have to build this outline for this program. And then I just said, you know what? I'll just load a PDF of my book into the AI and say, could you create a 10-step program for me based on the contents of the book I wrote, which for me, it was like, that's not cheating. That's just asking it to.
Sure. It's your book.
Yeah. And I was up in 10 minutes. We were watching the movie. And she's like, wow, you got that done quick. And I'm like, you know, this AI thing ain't too bad. Now, it wasn't perfect. And I had to go back in and think it through. And quite honestly, in looking back at it again, I realized I did myself a disservice not going through the process of thinking it through myself. And I think that's another big issue.
Like
the whole reason I wrote the book is I wanted to, I'm not out to sell a book. No one makes money selling books.
Well, not few anymore, people do. No.
Unless you're George Patterson is that guy that writes a book every day. But the process of writing it is the gift of it, is going through the process of learning how well you know about a subject, how much you can bring to it. And writing for me for the book was just, do not judge, write for 3 hours, stop. And then eventually you'll go back and you'll look it over and you'll whack it down and you'll get an editor to help do that and all that stuff. But, to not do it yourself is a disservice, I think, because then you don't know the intricacies of how things bounce off each other and how ideas bounce off each other. It's like, it's almost,
you don't learn as much.
You don't learn it. Exactly. You don't learn as much. And it, you know, when it reminds me of when Steve Jobs was still alive and he talked about when he built Apple Park, which was circular. The reason he built it that way is because he learned when he bought Pixar that it was kind of this thing with a big atrium in the middle and all the offices were around it. And so people would bump into each other and they would, you know, kind of learn new ideas or bounce new ideas off each other. And that's why he designed it as a circle, because he wants people to have to walk all the way across to go to the, you know, commissary or whatever. And people bumping into each other helps make better ideas happen. And that's the big challenge, I think, with AI and with a lot of this remote work is people aren't bumping into each other and saying, hey, you know, I was thinking, you know. So
The remote work can be tough that way. But I think as a society, I think we might be getting used to or more used to the whole Zoom thing. I mean, you know, what we're doing here right now.
No, I think it is. No, and there are benefits for sure. And there are conversations and visual conversations that are happening that wouldn't happen otherwise.
Yes.
Right. So there is a
they do have to be more planned, though.
Yeah, but there's a net benefit to it. So a lot of people lament how technology has changed the personal interaction. Well, technology in this forum has empowered more personal interaction. It's not in person, but it's definitely personal, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you see advertising going into the future? I mean, things have changed drastically just in the last 5 years, pretty much. You know, we have social media, we have streaming media, we have all of the various many different channels that there are available where advertising could be. And a lot of them are audio only. So we're seeing the rise of podcasts. We're seeing the rise of streaming media and, you know, radio stations being on the internet. You know, where do you see all this going?
Well, I think the biggest issue for advertisers is ignoring brand meaning, because that can, I mean, it's been proven a known trusted brand can get your performance marketing 3 to 4x in terms of its ROI, its payout. And a lot of these brands are very short-sightedly saying, well, we don't need to do any brand advertising. We just need to, you know, chase people all over the internet and get our transactions, and that'll be that. My personal point of view is that's short-sighted, and it's a finite bucket of people you're going to be able to connect with because what's happened, I think, in the funnel of advertising has gone from, and this is very overly simplistic, but, you know, there's the ADA funnel, awareness, interest, desire, action, and it's a funnel that goes down. Right now, all four of those things are happening in the bottom in that one moment. And some people might respond to that. A lot of people are like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you stand for. I don't know what you're trying to sell me. I'm moving on. You've wasted 2.5 seconds of my life. I'm moving on. And if that logo on that ad was a known brand, tennis balls, Penn. Oh, I know Penn. What are they trying to tell me? You'll stick around longer, right? And that is being ignored at many advertisers' peril. I would give you a couple of references. One, and here's, I'll tell you where I think advertising is going. I think one of the greatest examples of a brand justifying its spend was, and this is in my book, Dove Campaign for Real Beauty.
Sure, yeah.
So they did
that. I love that one.
Yeah, they did that campaign, and their sales were, you know, starting to go, but not as much as the bean counters would like. So after, I think, 18 months, they said, you know what, this isn't working. They cut the brand, and their sales started going way down. And they asked Nielsen to do a study on it, and Nielsen came back and said, for every buck you're spending on brand, you're getting four back. So they're like, okay, well, maybe we should reinvest in this brand stuff. So then around, this is 2014 and 2016, they started investing in again. It was a $2.5 billion brand in 2004. And last I checked when I published my book, it was a $6 billion brand. So in 15 years, it's more than doubled. And you don't get that by just telling people to go buy cold cream, you know.
You kind of have to stand for something.
You have to stand for something. And that's how you differentiate yourself. And that's why my contention in terms of where brands are going is, what are your values? What values do you hold dear that you can attract an audience who share those values? Obviously, the audience for people who wanted something deeper than skin deep beauty was a huge pool of people that wanted to tune into Dove's point of view about these things and the things that Dove would do. And so they already cared about that. Suddenly someone showed up who was going to talk about that, and that's how they got their attention. That's where I think advertising is going. Another example, and by the way, I think every brand or company of any size needs an in-house creator of interesting values-based content. So You need, here's an example. I go search for a canoe paddle. Now, personalization, as it's known now, has the maker of a canoe paddle chasing me all over the internet to sell me a canoe paddle. You know, when are you going to come to your senses and buy this canoe paddle? My contention is that because the personalization has to be more about values. Oh, you search for a canoe paddle. You must love the outdoors. You must love, national parks. You must love, or you must need some information on the benefits of a plastic canoe paddle versus a wooden canoe paddle. You know, that's the kind of content that you should be chasing people with, because that is the kind of content they're going to go, oh, thank you for that. I didn't realize I could use that information. That's helpful. And
appreciated
that's,
branding.
That's where branding is going. That's where I think branding is going, is finding ways to proactively help the customers you want to attract. And that will attract them because you're doing something nice for them. Nice, appreciable, thankable. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
That's a really interesting perspective, because I guess in a way I kind of started this whole podcast because of appreciated branding.
Oh my God, another full circle moment.
Yeah, a full circle moment. Exactly. Well, because as a voice actor, I'm often the last person people bring on to a project. And I was finding that a lot back in 2019, which is when I started this podcast. And it struck me that that shouldn't be the last thing they think about, that the sound that they're putting on this, whatever it is, shouldn't just be the bow on the present or the icing on the cake. It needs to be thought about from the very beginning. So when I decided that I was going to do a podcast, I wanted to talk about the power of sound and how it can make a difference in these advertising campaigns, and it influences us in general. So yeah, and I think also cutting through the noise is a big thing these days as well, because we're all inundated with the visuals so much.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Well, but that brings up a whole other point, which is the power of a voice's quality to bring a brand to life. So you know, a lot of clients are like, well, just hire a voiceover and just have them say the copy. And it's just like, well, you know, there's a place for Gilbert Gottfried, and there's a place for, you know, John Lithgow. And I'm not saying we would use either of those, but, you know, if I'm doing a commercial on a cancer care center, I would never have Gilbert Gottfried come on and say, "And now that's the way," you know, that's like that's.
It would be memorable.
It would be memorable, but it would be completely the opposite of what the brand should be.
It doesn't fit.
It doesn't
sound
caring. It doesn't sound earnest. And that's how the voice you choose for a commercial is critical, to make sure that it's furthering the brand's values and the brand's core reason for being.
Yeah, and, very much so. Yeah. And I've also come across the problem, I guess, that a lot of brands change their sound so often that it becomes less memorable.
Yeah, consistency is huge.
Yes.
Brand consistency is huge. And my, my analogy is, and it kind of comes out of also the what you'd call customer lifetime value. You know, why would you throw away your china after every meal? You know, it's kind of like you've built up value here. You don't need to do that. And it's, by the way, cheaper to sell to on the customer lifetime value side of that equation, it's cheaper to sell to someone who already knows you and believes in you and has bought from you than to convince yet another new person. And that's why Dove had that response, you know, that with that 4X. So what I take to CMOs is I say, look, I know your CEO thinks brand is a waste of money, but if you can play the long game with him, not the what are our sales next quarter, you're going to be a hero in a couple of years. And that's a big deal. And I help CMOs to explain that to CEOs and CFOs so that they're not sitting there going, well, we need, you know, the street is asking about our share price and blah, blah, blah. Well, you need to provide your people air cover for that. The other thing I would mention that I think is a trend is a lot of chief marketing officers are not in the C-suite, which is a huge mistake, because the whole point of marketing is that you're going out there and you're solving a problem. That is, you do that, you solve a new problem, you create Uber, you got the wind at your back. And if you have a marketing person in those meetings, they're already starting to think about how they're going to sell it, how they're going to advertise it, if it even needs it. Because sometimes, like, Tesla has never, and I mean, Tesla, forget what Tesla's going on now, but they never advertised. Starbucks never advertised until recently. Costco never advertises because the product is talked about. It's so good. It's a very rational delivery of a very emotional experience. And if you have that built into your product and what you're making, you'll spend a lot less money on the crutch of trying to interrupt people to say, see what we got here. So
true. Yeah. You don't have to go to so much effort when you have word of mouth.
Exactly.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
Yeah. There's so much to unpack here, and I wish we had another hour. But I'm just going to ask you what you're working on now, if you could maybe talk a little about what's on your horizon.
Well, I am building out a product offering. I'm going to build out some social media, a bigger, stronger social media presence. And I'm kind of booking out talks now. So I'm in Montreal in May. I'm in Oklahoma. I'm in Wisconsin in April. So I'm trying to get, you know, speaking engagements to talk about appreciated branding or branding in general, because a lot of people don't understand how powerful it is. A lot of people think just a logo is your brand, and a logo just a logo. It's not a brand.
When I talk about audio branding, the first thing they ask about is the logo, the sonic logo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's not it. The whole thing, it's a huge umbrella.
Yeah.
And you know that for branding in general.
Yeah, it's a bigger emotional thing. So, yeah, it's the equivalent of someone named Eric that you just met versus someone named Eric who you were roommates with for 4 years and you know, and you have an emotional connection to.
Sure.
That's the difference. Yeah.
I would hope sound figures in there somewhere.
I think it does. I think it's familiar voice, familiar presence. I mean, I think relationships are, there's a lot that sound plays into that a lot of people don't know. I mean, my dog, I love my dog. Uh-huh. And I know my dog loves me because when I walk up the stairs, I hear his tail hitting the floor.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's a familiar sound and something that we find comforting, you know, in whatever situation.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a really interesting aspect of branding that I'm hoping to get people to pay more attention to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love what you're doing. I'm so grateful that you asked me on and I could chat about this.
Well, thank you so much for talking about this. I really appreciate that. And so how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to do that?
Well, you can subscribe to my newsletter at Reid Holmes, R-E-I-D Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S.com newsletter. newsletter. It comes out every Friday. It's called Oxygen. I'm trying to give people really good content and information. Because a lot of newsletters are like, people, like I get a ton of them and I'm like, I'm not going to read this anymore. There's yeah, nothing sure. going on here. So I'm always trying to, get people to walk away. I mean, my life goal is to make people a better version of themselves. And that's one way I try to do that is with this newsletter. So there's that. There's some other freebies there. And you can also schedule a time with me if anybody wants to chat about how I could potentially help with someone. My Calendly is on there. So it's all at reedholmes.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Reed. This has been really interesting and some fascinating insights into the advertising world that I think people need to know about.
Yeah. Well, thanks,
and your book, too. I hope people will pick that up.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
For those of you listening, yes, it's called Appreciated Branding.
Yes.
Yeah, you should look that up. Yeah. Thank you so much, Reed. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jody.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.